Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift here on Here Be Monsters. We're joined by a special guest today, as well as my co-host. My name is Nicole Tomasini. My co-host is Gwendolyn Barry, and we're joined by Healer Esoteric. And before we introduce everybody, I'd like to take a minute to listen to a little bit of this music to set the mood. Keep on knocking. Tuned in also on the internet. Is that, there we go. That's better. So that was Keep On Knockin' by a band called Death. And they were popular in the 1970s. And that was one that they did a couple years ago, a remake of their own song. So I thought we could all use a little get up and go since Mars is about to go out of retrograde on Monday. And we just came from a lot of stormy weather here in New York City and thereabouts. So, hi, Gwen. Hi, Healer.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Hey, well, your song sounded fine on this end.
Oh, yeah? That's good.
Yeah.
I can hear you just fine over on my end as well. Did you say that band's name was Death?
Yep.
Interesting. There's a death metal band called Death. I thought you were referring to them for a second.
I think it is them. There's a documentary out on Netflix about a band called Death, and that's them. So
I'll check it out.
Yeah. So I gathered from your Facebook page, Healer, that you were interested in heavy metal. Is that true?
Yes, I'm actually a vocalist in a metal band. We're called Riot of the Blood.
Whoa! I love it.
Do you remember when the Occupy movement took place?
Yes.
That was about the time that we formed, and the second day after the movement, when everyone got arrested or whatever, there was a newspaper article put out, and the woman getting arrested on the cover was actually the girlfriend of my guitarist when I joined the band.
Congratulations. Way to stand up. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So so tell me, I mean, since we're talking about the music, why don't you start with a little music and tell us a little bit about that, and then we can go into the astrology and your work with the stars.
Okay. Essentially, the band is called Riot of the Blood, and what that means is I want you to picture a time where we're – let me explain it this way. What's going on right now, I feel like it is indicative of what's going on in the heavens as well. Are you familiar with the quote, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"?
Sure.
Which is the law for astrology. The name came about originally when my guitarist was playing a video game and he discovered a move that one of the characters could do called Riot of the Blood. I personally didn't like the name originally because it didn't have any depth, it didn't have any meaning. So I pondered upon the name for a moment, and what came to me was that what was going on at the time with the whole Occupy movement, just everything I was reading, I felt that the music that we made embodied what was going on. So Riot of the Blood means to live under conditions that do not permit you to be the best you can be, and as such, inside there's a great conflict, and now this is surfacing. Make sense?
Yeah, a lot of sense.
If I didn't take too much of a circuitous route to explain it. But all of our music, we try to hit different subjects without sounding preachy, you know? Let's say we'll speak about, like, the pharmaceutical industries with one of our songs called Murderous Medicine Men. It pretty much explains how the former director of the FDA, when he stepped down, he admitted that they were taking bribes from certain companies to put out drugs that really were very dangerous in laboratory studies. So the song is really much about that. But
wow.
Without, what's that?
Yeah, go on.
Without being too preachy, it's more about making people aware of these facts, you know?
That's not preachy. That's telling it like it is. I mean, that's some truth to put out there for people to bring their awareness up. I think it's great.
If you'd like to hear the song, you can visit either facebook.com/riotoftheblood.nyc, or you can check out www.riotoftheblood.com, riotoftheblood.bandcamp.com. The song is called Murderous Medicine Men.
Wow.
Are you a fan of death metal yourself?
I have become one. What's the other one? Bad Brains. I watched a documentary on the Bad Brains. And so, and my friends were in a couple death metals. So it's quite, it definitely gets the blood flowing and the juices going. And I love how a lot of it, the words are really great, but a lot of times you can't understand the words. It's more like becomes the vibration of it. So, yeah.
Energy. It's energy music.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I read one of the lyrics to you?
Sure. That would be great.
These are the lyrics from Murderous Medicine Men. It says, with healers like yourselves, there's no need for disease. You've outlawed what nature's grown to cure the soul and sell us these synthetics passed off as medicine that systematically medicate just enough to keep us all drug addicted.
Yeah.
A bit of instrumental stuff.
That's about it, yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about that on the Spirit Therapy show, about how we forgot how to heal ourselves and that, you know, do we really need a doctor to tell us what's going on with us? I think a lot of us do these days, but I think that's a really important movement towards, you know, recognizing what's happening with Babylon and how we can unplug ourselves.
You know, I'm glad you just said Babylon, because I feel like every day when I observe my surroundings, I feel like I am living in Babylon.
You are. You are.
Well, you just went off for a second.
Well, you know, we're also given the opportunity right now to transcend into many different worlds. So it's like we are choosing Babylon at this moment. The next moment, we may choose the underworld or the overworld.
Yes.
There's lots of dimensions. But that's my opinion. My opinion.
Yeah, I think it's a time of choice, right? It's a time to choose, you know, where you want to live, and all paradigms are possible right now.
Go ahead, Healer. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I believe truly that the universe will take you out of scenarios or take certain people out of your life once you change your mind frame. I think in order to connect to higher worlds, we have to create a shift in our way of thinking. Consciousness shift?
I think you're right. You're also a personal trainer, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, indeed. I fell into personal training when I was about 17. I observed my life and I realized that there were certain things that needed to be worked on physically and mentally, you know, internally, spiritually, so to speak. At one point, after all these things that I've read, I realized that we're not just a physical body. We have a mental body, and we also have an etheric body, a soul, so to speak. And in order to disease is really just a imbalance or lack of harmony between these bodies. So I developed a regimen to take care of all of these bodies, to maintain a certain level of balance and become much more of a navigator of the world around you by being in charge of these bodies through exercise, meditation, and study. When I say study, for me personally, I refer to the study of astrology and mostly esoteric subjects, but any study that will help your mind grow and help you better express what is inside of you will suffice.
Nice.
That's great. Where do people have to be at some level, or do you just work with anybody who has the desire?
Well, I work with just about anybody, but to better understand what it is I do exactly, as a personal trainer, I'm sure you already know what a personal trainer does. I can get you into pretty much the best shape of your life. often, I found that with my clients, their physical issue or their perception of themselves, where they're currently at, is a reflection of their predominant way of thinking, meaning thought in a certain pattern, so your body becomes a reflection of that. I'm sure you've heard the saying that you are what you eat, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in essence, you're not just what you eat, you are what you do habitually the most. And at the end of the day, your predominant circumstance is really a reflection of your predominant choices, your predominant way of thinking. I then discovered that even in my own workout regimens, that to reach my goals, I had to change my thinking. You know, I had to really go inside of my mind and change a few things and connect to the thought pattern of the person that I wanted to be in order for the change to take place externally. Make sense?
Totally. I've been going through exactly that because, you know, I see we're going to have some parallels here between spirit therapy and what you do, because I realized that I was very focused on fearfully not wanting to get fat and old. When I really look at it, I didn't think of it quite that way at the time, but that was what I was thinking. And then I would do all these things with the physical and with the eating, and I would see some changes, but most things were kind of stagnant, and I was getting really frustrated. And so I applied my own spirit therapy and said, okay, what are we focused on? That's not what we want, so let's change the focus. And I changed the focus, and just recently, like, I see a lot of changes. And then also my habits have changed because I changed my thinking much easier than me trying to implement and force these things on myself. So it sounds very parallel to what you're saying.
Exactly. That's essentially what the art of mastery is. Basically, when one incarnates into flesh, when the soul comes into form, if I might go back just a little bit further, because I just want to make sure that we're just all in the same pattern, that way when I try to express myself, it becomes easy to understand, easy to relate to. I personally believe that no matter where you go in the universe, not that I've been anywhere else, but physically at least, that there's a law that all physical creation follows, and that law is form is shaped by purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what this means is that before anything comes into creation, anything that is created, before it was created, it had a need to be created, a reason, a purpose. We can take the cup, for example. Before we had cups, we had our hands, and then someone thought, hey, let's make a cup. there is the purpose, and thus the form came to facilitate the purpose. So I look at the human being as a purposeful form because we do exist. So how do we define our purpose? We come to understand the archetype that this body represents. But how do we understand the archetype? In order to understand the archetype that a body represents, the role that you are supposedly fulfilling is by understanding the circumstances of your birth, meaning the time, the place, what's going on the celestial plane.
Yeah, I just talked about that same thing, about how your astrological chart is it's like your signature, your come-in signature, and that was a need that needed to be filled, and the universe won't tolerate a void, so you were created, every single one of you. Cool.
And you constantly chose that, you know. I believe that the life is a game that all souls play. And when we choose to come into life, a part of the game is the forgetting of the purpose, because if you knew what the purpose was, it wouldn't be as much finding it. You would miss the fun part of finding it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So essentially what I do is, or rather what I've noticed about the environment that I live in, from studying astrology at about age 16, it became apparent to me, seeing others who did not have this level of awareness, that essentially we forget what we're supposed to do. And the entire story of our lives is finding that out. And I found that often I would be the person who is sought after to help, you know, open the mind up a bit and sort of put things together, help people put things together. So I tried to combine that with my training because I realized that every client I had, their circumstances was what caused their weight problems or not being in the physical shape that they want. So we had to, in order to change the circumstance, we have to change the thought process. So in order to change the thought process, I have to understand the way that this person thinks.
Mm-hmm. Making sense. Yeah.
I have a question. Are you a vegetarian?
You know, I try to be a vegetarian, but I will not give up fish for nothing. I'm an islander and I love fish. What's that?
I was wondering, where do you find good whole, you know, untainted fish these days? I keep looking. I'm good with buying some East Coast fish here, but it's getting harder and harder.
To be honest, your guess is as good as mine. I live in New York, and mm-hmm. I think that everything New York gets is processed and probably not good for you at all.
Yeah, a lot of Babylon up in here, but there are places, but I agree with the fish. But you know, again, I do feel if you're going to eat fish or anything, even if you're going to eat McDonald's, for crying out loud, I think if we bless it and we think of it as nutritious and clean and healthy, I think that will be helpful, since we're going through so much transition and so many things are getting affected.
That's true.
It's interesting that you should say that, because in the ancient mystery schools, they actually had a practice as such where they would attune the food that they were about to eat to the energy emanating from their hands.
Mm. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, already getting the meeting, you know, the first acquaintance with what is going to be inside me. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah. Anyway, I was just thinking about prayer and things like that, and it never really meant anything to me, but growing up. But then I did like that moment of silence that we took, you know, just everyone pausing before eating. But that's, I guess, more of the attunement, right? You're just taking a moment to realize, to think about that you're about to partake in food. Yeah.
Ancient traditions usually have some kind of very good anchor in keeping us healthy and our minds geared towards the positive, from the ancient mystery schools on through to even the monotheistic religions. I said grace, you know, Catholic grace at the table every night with the family. And it's I finally sat down because I walked away at 15 from Catholicism, but I understood from classic education by the Penguins, you know, that this was something that was saying, I'm happy to sit down and share with others, and I'm going to feel good, and I'm going to be thankful for what comes to me, and put a good energy on it. So, what Healer is saying is incredibly, you know, it's important. Grace is important.
True.
Yeah.
Be told. So on the subject of food, a friend of mine called me the other day, and I think this is a good example of what I do. He's been a lifelong friend of mine, and he's watched me when I started studying astrology up to now, you know. And the other day, he kept on having to go to the hospital because he had stomach problems. So he calls me up. He's like, hey, Healer, I have no idea what to do. Doctors don't know. They think it's that he might need surgery or something of that nature. So when he described what he was feeling, I immediately pulled up his astrology chart, and what I found was that his sixth house was in Virgo. In astrology, the sixth house refers to our placemaker. And what sign is in the sixth house will say where this health issue is going to take place, or what part of the body is more susceptible to ailments.
Mm-hmm.
So
is Virgo the stomach?
Virgo is the stomach and the intestine.
Ah.
So I immediately said to him that it's his stomach and his intestines. And he said, yeah, doctors think that that the origin might be in the intestines. So what I did was I picked up my book on chakras, and I turned to the solar plexus chakra. And just as I thought, the solar plexus rules over the stomach and the intestines. Much more to it, what I did was, by looking at his astrology chart, I understood that Virgo also rules the nervous system. I said to him that his stomach problem may be a result of anxiety, him being too much of a worrier, and it's manifesting in his stomach. As the solar plexus chakra represents our self, our confidence, it is blocked by fear, anxiety. When we keep our stomach, when we keep ourselves hunched over, we're compressing upon that chakra, and we don't allow that self to shine. This is our core. This is the center of ourselves, our inner sun. So I gave him a series of breathing techniques and sounds that he should make to retune the solar plexus chakra, which had been, its vibration had been disrupted by his constant anxiety, which was in turn affecting his stomach. 3 days later, he said he was feeling much better from doing those. So I guess it works.
Wow.
It does. That's excellent advice.
Yeah, that sound healing is so interesting these days. Go on.
What was most interesting was the sounds that I'd given him. He said to me before we had hung up, he's like, yo, I've actually been, those are the sounds he's been making instinctively, because when he did that, he felt that pressure was taken off of his stomach. So I told him, yeah, listen, go sit down, try to meditate a little bit, get into the zone, and do about 7 minutes of toning, and then try to sit there in silence. And he repeated for 3 days. He was just fine.
So what's the toning sound like? Like, would you share what it was that you gave him?
Well, first I would like to share the concept of what I'm doing is, first and foremost, we live in a universe. A universe meaning one song, one united verse. Everything from ourselves to the planet, everything has a frequency in which it resonates at. So we're all singing the same song of the universe in different voices, but, you know, in essentially the same tone. And when we sing out that tone, that's where the nature of disease comes in, or dis-ease, a lack of ease. To be a little more specific, the ancient mysteries will tell you that the human being is what's known as a septenary, a sevenfold being. There are seven major attributes to the human being, and each one corresponds to the seven deadly sins, the seven virtues, the seven vowels, the seven ductless glands, which is actually why there's a correlation between our thought process and our health. The ductless glands, they secrete hormones which have an effect on our mood, and having too much of a certain secretion or too little of can cause that imbalance or that dis-ease state. So the seven chakras, all, in order to tune them, they're vowel sounds that we can utter, a combination of vowels and consonants. I actually just finished reading a book by, Jane D'Angelo, PhD. It's called Seed Sounds for Tuning Chakras. So if I might cite his work real quick, for example, the root chakra is lam.
Very grounding.
Mm-hmm. So Rudy. M is, no matter what chakra you want to tune, they will always have an M at the end. Mm-hmm. Most interestingly enough, there was a study done that schizophrenic patients, and they found that humming for a certain amount of time actually brought down their episodes by about 58%.
Mm. Wow.
What the conclusion was, in some circles at least, was that humming brings you closer to the inner self, the being occupying the body that has become a slave to the external world, that's always bombarding our senses and keeping us from that inner light.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That makes a lot of sense. Feeling your own resonance brings you back to yourself. So obvious. It's great.
So basically, when we get sick, we just need to retune our body back to the vibration of the universe, because that's what sickness is, not being in harmony. The fact that we live in a society that is very mechanical, very unfeeling, very businessy, it's essentially a reflection of our ego, you know, and this brings us, constant participation in the outside world brings us this imbalance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, go on.
I mean, if I'm not, like, talking too much right now.
That's
so
great
a
stuff.
Little bit more, on the toning stuff. What I've, for the past, okay, essentially all my life, I've had deja vu. I found that the more I meditate, the stronger deja vu becomes. And as of this past year, I've been experimenting with different vowel sounds, different tones, and I found that doing om causes me to have intense deja vu. I started documenting it over a series of months, and when I would do it at a decent frequency, like every other day, but, you know, fairly consistent about it, I would have deja vu 7+ times a day.
And wow, that's a lot.
Tell me about it. I would look crazy to people because I'm at work and I would just twitch. I'm like, oh, shit. Every couple of seconds it would just go off, you know? My best friend, he and I, he does the same thing, actually. He does mind-body-soul therapy. He's a personal trainer as well. And, you know, we study together and meditate together, train together, all that stuff. And once it started happening to me a lot, I told him, hey, try these tones. I believe this is what's causing this. So he started trying out the tones, and lo and behold, he started having deja vu as well. Then he points out something to me. He's like, every time I have deja vu, I check the time. The numbers on the time add up to the number 5. and it's consistent. So then I started checking it. I was getting 5 and 11 all the time. It would be throughout the day, 5, 6 times I would get 5, 11, 5, 11, 11, 11, 11. You know, it got... Hello?
Yeah, so what is that? Yeah.
I mean, what I believe it is, after studying numerology and, well, just astrology, just all of the esoteric mysteries, what I can put together is that you are always trying to talk to yourself when you go to sleep. When you step on the other side, your subconscious is always giving you messages, but the subconscious speaks in a language that is not direct. That is the art of it, you know. We have to essentially play detective with ourselves in order to understand our lives. So when the subconscious communicates with you in a dream, often we tend to miss these things.
The symbolism, right? We don't, unless you're up on symbols, and then the numbers too, and then what numbers can also resonate as different tones, right? Like the fifth tone, all these things, but you have to pay attention to these wonderful symbols. Everybody gets to be Sherlock Holmes.
Pretty much. To be more specific about it, after studying the work of Manly P. Hall, which I believe everyone should study his work, he was a mystic, he was a Rosicrucian, and he was a Freemason. He's also the founder of the Philosophical Research Society of California. 71 years of hard work, 71 years of hard research. So when it comes to metaphysics, spirituality, he's definitely one of the authorities on the subject, at least I believe so. But after studying his work, I came to find out that these symbols don't always mean the same thing for everybody. For me, what's that?
That's correct. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but you're correct.
No. Please do speak. I feel like I'm sort of hogging a hog in the airtime right now.
Hog away.
Hog away.
I think I talk a little bit too much. But according, these symbols are different for everybody, and it's not necessarily the wisest thing to always ask somebody outside of you, because it's your own subconscious creating these things, and they only mean things to you and different things to other people. He did a series called Lost in a Psychic Wonderland. It's a wonderful lecture that you can listen to on YouTube. I think the lecture is from the early 1900s, but the audio quality is still pretty good.
Now, it's healer. It's what you say is very true. Everybody has their own symbolic definition book, and you really have to figure it out for yourself. But remembering the quality of a symbol, what it first meant to you, what it brings up just instinctually, is a great clue. And then sometimes it really is the collective unconscious definition too. So in my experience,
in dream class in college, a lot of the professors would talk like that, and that was the message at the end of the day. That it really means whatever it means to you. Also, psychologically, it's like, well, if you have a thing about bats or a thing about pink sweaters and that shows up, it's going to mean something totally different to you than somebody else, So that does have to be taken into account, as well as the general.
It's quite true. I mean, I've had dreams when I was a child and dreams when I was an adult that had one figure in them, and that one figure was always a wake-up in terrible fear because it meant one thing. And I actually gave it away. I symbolically gave it away, and it left me.
I've definitely got a similar story to share. But I have so much stories I would like to share with you all, if you don't mind.
Sure.
On the subject of symbolism and numbers, Like I said, over a series of months, I was tracking my my deja vu episodes and its synchronization with the numbers that I was seeing. I found that it also synchronized with my current way of thinking. Meaning, if I was thinking about spirituality or something, I would always see the number 11. If a brilliant idea came to mind and I had deja vu, it would be 5. In numerology, 5 represents the microcosm, the communication between heaven and earth. So I found that 5 would pop up anytime I was being inspired. 11 would pop up anytime I'm pursuing the route of healer, so to speak.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like 5 is like your message received, right? Wow.
Yeah. So to get a little more with this, one night I had a dream, and this was as I was waking up, rather. Excuse me there. on my cell phone, getting a little text message. So I was in that semi-waking state. And I couldn't see anything. It was just black. And I could hear my best friend speaking to me. And the words that he was saying, I started seeing what he was saying. If he said truck, I would see a truck in my dream. And then I woke up. So he called me like a few minutes after I woke up, and we met up, went to go hang out in the park a little bit. And we're speaking about pretty much essentially what we're speaking about now. And I had deja vu, but this time I remembered. I remembered as I was having the episode, and I remembered a few steps ahead that I told him to take out his phone. The number would be 5. Everything he was saying was what I was dreaming. Like I said, I couldn't see him in my dream, but later that day, the words that he was saying, I'm like, yeah, you had this conversation with me last night, and I told you to stop because we needed to remember this moment, and the number was 5. He pulls out his phone. Lo and behold, the numbers add up to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I know. Just yeses and giggles over here. I know. It's the, what do you call that, Gwen? The hokey pokey? What do you call that? Those moments?
It is synchronicity, isn't it?
Synchronicity.
It happens. But you know, a lot of what you're actually saying at this moment is what people are gathering out of experiencing the Red Book by Jung. Have you seen that?
Carl Jung?
Yeah, his Red Book.
Yeah, I've wanted to get my hands on that.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say the book was by Carl Jung?
Carl Jung, yeah.
And it was in a big red leather book, and so they just call it the Red Book, but it's like one of his greatest works. Tell him.
It's his personal. It was his personal journal, and it has a lot of symbolism drawing in it, with notations, and people are drawing the most extraordinary conclusions that are very enlightening, and like bright white light to them, and it's just supposed to be a wonderful experience. I've only been able to see it online. Not in my hands yet. It's very pricey. I think it's going for like $300.
Can I give you a cheaper alternative?
Nice.
A much more enlightening alternative. With no disrespect to Mr. Jung's work, I actually I do have very deep respect for Carl, simply because Carl Jung was also an astrologer and an alchemist. He studied both of these subjects, and these... If you study any of these subjects and then you examine analytical psychology, it becomes fairly apparent that the inspiration was derived from the ancient form of psychology, which was astrology and alchemy, means of finding spiritual goal through transformation of the lower traits of a human being. Basically, his symbolism, a lot of them are derived from this, but these things were considered esoteric. So my understanding is that he wanted to be taken very seriously by the psychology community, so he kept his affiliation with the mysteries a little bit. He downplayed a lot more than
Sorry.
Because Freud was he was under it. You know, Babylon's poking their fingers in there. So he was like, all right, I don't want to piss too many people off and he put it over there. I can understand that, you know, but yeah, go on.
they were also combating people like Steiner and the Gestalt. It was a big tennis court, man.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
See,
that's why I believe astrology is so liberating, you know, because people fight so hard to disprove it. Yet
exactly.
It takes me 2 minutes to prove astrology.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes. want to time me?
Sure.
If this sounds arguable or not, I suppose I don't have much evidence to back up my argument, but when it's true, you know it's true, right? There is there's no need for any sources or evidence beyond what you're experiencing. So first and foremost, let's get to the truth of what astrology actually is. Astrology does not dictate your future or anything like that. Astrology is the study of archetypes in correlation to celestial motion, meaning if in psychology we accept that you are a product of your environment, then we have to accept astrology, because what is our environment a product of? Our environment is a product of where the Earth is in the celestial environment, in the bigger environment around it. That's why it is a universe. Everything is related. Everything is connected. It is really just as above, so below. There is, as the Corpus Hermeticum, if you're familiar with Hermeticism, essentially Hermeticism contains within its entirety the basis of most major philosophies and religion. It is considered the most complete text. Let me see. What is it called? Most major religions can be brought back to astrology in one way, shape, or form. What was I getting at?
Were you going to provide a bridge between Hermeticism and astrology?
Oh, yes. So Hermeticism, let's take it from this perspective, actually. Some of the most influential people in history have been affiliated with certain esoteric orders. This is a true fact. Leonardo da Vinci was affiliated with the Knights of the Golden Dawn. Most of our presidents have been Freemasons. And these cultures, these orders, all have their basis in astrology. These orders all have their roots in Hermeticism. And Hermeticism essentially explains that as above, so below. This is where the saying comes from, and it's if you're familiar with the Catholic prayer, I believe, the Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come,
yeah.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven was taken from as above, so below. The heaven's original term, the original meaning was not magical place in the sky. It was literally the stars. As it is in the stars, so it shall be on earth. So essentially what astrology is imagine when you're first born, that immediate environment, your brain, so to speak, is being bombarded by different vibrations, different emanations from planets. We know that our blood coagulates at different speeds based on different phases of the moon. We know that the moon has a significant control over our a woman's menstrual cycle.
It does over mine. It's amazing. Like in the past year, I'm like synchronized with the moon. It's amazing. You go on.
28 days, water. That's what it signifies. So essentially, what astrology is observing behavior patterns that synchronize with the environment. For example, Capricorns tend to be the most depressed sign in the zodiac. Why? Well, Capricorn is born when the sun is farthest from the earth.
Mm.
Your winter baby. Less vitamin D, which is also linked to depression.
Mm.
And interestingly enough, Capricorns usually suffer from bone problems, teeth, and knee injuries especially. knee problems, pretty much skeletal dysfunction are under Capricorn.
Wow.
Sounds like me, and yet I'm one back.
It also sounds like my father and my roommate. There are both teeth and knee problems with both of them, and they're both Capricorns. Amazing.
My best friend is actually Capricorn, is suffering from teeth problems right now. But the interesting thing is that at the end of the day, we are every single sign. The truth of the matter is the signs don't mean anything. They don't. What it really is that the planetary motions affect our psychology. Each planet correlates to a different aspect of our psyche. And this is actually, there's a book called Planetary Symbolism in Jungian Philosophy, which explains the entire, what each planet represents in our psychology. And this, funny enough, goes back to the Kabbalah, which goes back to Hermeticism.
Nice. Loop and the loop. And we have 15 minutes left, and I think this is a good time. Gwen just made a new line of oils talking about looping things together and around and the symbology. Gwen does aromacology, and she came up with a Peru line. Why don't you take it from there, Gwen?
Oh, am I doing my little spot right now?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Well, the collection is called.
That sounds like an exciting name.
Right? It's called Barkity Bark Bark.
It's called Return from Peru. And it's all about Peru. Go on over to Daughters of Isis and check it out. You guys go back to the conversation, and I'm going to calm everything down over here.
Cool.
Funny. Nicole?
Well, yeah. Go.
I didn't get the name of that the site.
Oh, it's daughtersofisis.com.
And
yeah, I'll tell you a little bit why I thought this was a good place to link together was because there's a crossing mister. You just spray it in your general vicinity that helps to get through to other worlds and feel more comfortable with that other world, the crossing. And then there's the sweet grass and white sage that clears the space, you know, gives you a loving bubble.
That one is just ceremony in a bottle. The one you were describing before, the Wormwood Shaman, that's about transcending worlds right now, and it's a great healer's tool. A lot of folks are working right now with crossing, whether it's crossing dimensions or it's physical crossing. There's a lot of folks crossing right now. And the Wormwood Shaman was created to assist. And also the one that's really nice in this, and it's a healer's treat, is Palo Santo Woods. And it has a little Palo Santo essential oil in it. It's a blend with some others. And thanks for giving me the plug. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's one of my favorite trios to work with. It's sort of, you know, the trinity of healing right now. So, you know, healer, we'll get together and you can totally, you know, test mine out and see what you think.
Yes, I would love to do your chart for you. And we should definitely exercise together one of these days, right? We can bring the strongest you.
Yeah, because, you know, that was a lot of why I was interested in what you do. And I realized that, you know, we only have 10 minutes left, so we'll have to have you back. I like having reoccurring guests that are, you know, you're so on the same page as Gwen and I. So,
well, especially if you're going to continue a conversation in theurgy, I really love that.
Yeah.
The hermeticism, the
the conversation was so engrossing, I think I got a little bit carried away. I mean,
no,
it's
no such thing here.
I'm having an echo. Wait a minute. Okay, there we go. But one of the things with your with the working out and working out on a spiritual level, I mean, that's one thing. The person that connected me and Healer was my good friend Zion, and he has taught me so much about working out in a smart way and working out in a way where you just feel like you are working on your body and connecting with your body through all this other esoteric and the everything else that we're working on with ourselves and our souls. So connecting them together and having the workout not have to be such a chore, that, you know, if we're all working on doing what we love, working on our bodies should also be one of those things. And so incorporating that astrology together, you know, that sounds like the right stuff right there.
Thank you. Honestly, the inspiration is derived from years of personal application. By understanding, by exercising, you master yourself physically. You become stronger. You become happier. There is no downside to it. There's no downside to exercise. It will help you. And understanding astrology, we can identify patterns, behaviors that create negative circumstances for you that do not facilitate the best of you. So why not have that on your side? And then meditation. Meditation allows you to constantly communicate with your subconscious, and it is the necessary tool for manifestation. So this is why I call it the art of mastery. These three things give you a certain level of mastery in your life and direction. Self-understanding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Healer, would you give us all of your contact information so that before we lose our moments here, people know how to find you, both in your social media and every day, so they might look you up and talk to you about training?
Yes. You can first find me on Facebook, facebook.com/healeresoteric. I think that's pretty easy to remember. And let me see. There's also Art of Mastery TV on YouTube. It's not currently active yet. That's where most activity is going to be put up. My discussions on how astrology works, different workouts that you can do at home, certain meditative techniques, sound therapy. Pretty much everything that I've learned, I'm going to turn it into some sort of exciting video that you can study from home and you can practice.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah, that's so great. That's stuff.
I think that's what you can all just find me on Facebook, and then that'll lead to YouTube. But there's also, let me see, facebook.com/artofmastery. Just remember, Art of Mastery. That's what you find me.
Nice. That's cool. Well, I want to thank Mountain Diva for chiming in and listening to us and all of our other guests, too, and everyone that's going to listen in the archives. So with our last 7 minutes, let's see. Do you want to pick up on any of the topics we've talked about?
Let's see. What's your favorite exercise?
My favorite exercise is the elliptical machine, because I'm a little bit of a jig out. Like, I'm an Aries, so I kind of go a little fast and I get bored fast, and I need to know why. Why am I doing this? So if I'm going to be on something for like half an hour, it's got to be fun. And I'm very into my own balance, and I've taken a lot of dance class, and I realize that my body responds very well to a lot of different movements. So the elliptical machine, even though it's a back and forth with arms and legs, there's a lot of combinations I can come up with. That's my favorite.
Can I offer you something better?
Please.
Have you ever heard of capoeira?
Yes.
Capoeira.
Well, I haven't.
Tell Glenn about capoeira.
Capoeira is a form of Brazilian martial arts. It was brought to Brazil by African slaves. They weren't allowed to practice their martial arts, so they disguised it in a dance. So this is sort of like the roots of breakdancing. It looks like they're dancing, but it's fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good friend of mine, Sean Moran, he's on Facebook too. He has a huge capoeira school with him and his woman in California. And it's amazing. And their bodies are amazing. But let me ask you this. Can I do capoeira with, my knees are a little sensitive. They're a little sensitive.
Okay. You can always take it slow. You can be gentle. You don't have to do more of the extreme moves.
Okay.
If anything, getting a nice little workout can help strengthen the muscles surrounding it, reinforcing it.
So why capoeira?
Well, you seem like a high-energy person, you know. That's why I asked you what your favorite workout was, and you said you need something that keeps you moving, something that keeps you busy. For one, you immediately went to a cardio workout. And in my experience, I found that most women tend to do a lot of cardio and not a lot of anaerobic exercises, which is necessary for growing your muscle, maintaining your muscle strength. So if you
Well, I have been doing more of that lately. It's funny that I went to that, but I have been doing more of this sort of stretching, moving my body against my own body weight, and that has seemed to make a difference. So go on.
Well, without having to get it, still keeping the cardio motion, but you're still going to get a good workout, you know, because capoeira is not just the lower body, even though it stands, it's a horse stance, which you're essentially in a squat the entire time, and then you're in a lunge. So you get a good lower body workout. And then there's the hand stuff, you know, when you get into the cartwheels, things of that nature. It helps to build up your flexibility. It's overall a powerful way of going about training the body. And in my experience, the results seem to last.
It sounds similar to Tai Chi, which I've been doing a lot of, that horse stance. That's what my teacher said, that for the first 4 months, that was the lesson. Just stand like this. For how long? As long as possible.
Oh,
for how long? Until you get it. And he was like, we did this 4 months. And then 8 months and a little bit of hands, you know. I was like, wow. So I do that a lot. Like if I just want to do something, I just stand in that squat. And then he taught me it's the fist coming up and then coming out from the solar plexus, the heart chakra, and going out in a Tai Chi twist and then back and then just both hands and real slow. But the twist needs to be timed, and so it takes some concentration, and it takes you away from realizing you've been in this horse stance, that squat. Sometimes you can forget. You can stay there longer. That's what I find. So,
I think that would be great discipline for you.
Yeah,
that Aries
it is.
Energy. Tempering that Aries energy. When is your
wow.
birthday, by the way?
March 23rd.
March 23rd. Tell you what, send me a message and send me your info. Let's see, what is it? Your birth time, birth date, and place of birth. And I'll look up a chart for you.
Awesome. So if anybody wants to get in touch with you and to have a chart done, they can go through Facebook. That's great. And I think next time we have you on, you know, maybe we can talk a little bit about exactly that. Like, you know, we can promote it and see if people have some questions with what's going on with their body and, you know, work that
gotcha.
Out. Awesome. Great. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure to have you on today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. All right. So... Mountain Diva just said, that makes sense, Virgo rising, and I just wave over my food and bless it because I have to eat real food sometimes and not just rabbit food. To loop it back around. Wonderful. Cool. All right. Yeah, so next time we'll talk more about planets, stars, your body, your food, and all kinds of fun stuff. And we have Sunday, the Sunday show. Yes, Gwen?
Yes, tomorrow, 6 p.m., the Sunday show, Wayne, Jack, and I, Joyner.
Great. And then Spirit Therapy on Monday at 7. Thanks, everyone, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.